night, everybody.
Do you realize how much more we have to do tonight, guys? Okay. Dave.
Okay. I'm going to support doing this tonight. The reason I'm going to support it is, first of all, I think Rob and Holt did a heck of a job. And frankly, yeah, the number was not set in concrete back when it was 750. And there's a lot of things that we didn't know about at that point in time. I think we should do the raised platform. It will pay for itself in the long run by giving us more square footage to use, whether we use it for COFA or something else. I think in the interim, we should use that extra space for conference room space because we surely need it. And I guess that's really all I got to say, but I think I think it's a good deal. And like Frank said, the number's not finished yet. It's not over till it's over.
Okay, Dave, Brian, Jim, Kathy, Nathan, Pam. Brian.
Thanks. At some point, this has to end. I truly believe that. But one of my favorite sayings that I can use in public is, it is what it is. And none of us asked to be here with this sort of topics, whether, yes, it was supposed to be for COPA, now it may be for CJC. The fact of the matter is we are under the gun, and we really do have to get started with something. Hopefully by the end of tonight, we've got to come up with a number for a bond once it gets introduced. Even we haven't even gotten that far, but we're going to need to do that. I guess I can just kind of speak out loud in that we can come up with a bond number. We do not necessarily have to spend all of that bond number at this point. There will be times to talk about as just like you're building a house. There will be a point where we can talk about add-ons and so on and so forth. My druthers would be I don't want to compromise in at the end what Tompkins County and our buildings normally look like. You can walk into a building and you can tell right off the bat if it's done on the cheap or not. Mm-hmm. But those are all discussions that we can have as the project evolves. If I had to try to just come up with a figure, and we've kind of been conversing back here in the bad corner, is somewhere in 1.3, maybe even 1.4 bond range, and we don't have to spend it. We may have some of that bonded money available. Say, it's COFA's in there to begin with, and although some of us might not like it, CJC turns out to be a better fit down the road. Now we've got that money available left over to do that. And I guess I'll end it by just kind of reminding everybody that when we do get that, not only do we have to vote in favor of it, but I believe it has to be a supermajority vote, a 10-person affirmative vote.
For the bonding, yes.
On the bond.
That's right.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Brian. Jim.
Martha, I really don't want to say anything now. I will put a resolution forth if I'm still alive, and we'll do it, or Kathy will have to do it.
Let's do it. All right. Well, I suppose you could just go ahead and move it. I mean, and then I'll just go on the same list that I have if you want to put it on the floor.
Are you ready to do that? I mean, I'm fine with that.
Let's call this the Budget Committee report. What?
Yeah, I mean,
I think we're finished with the presentation, but am I right, Graham? Okay, but I don't want them to leave.
Right.
You still have questions?
Oh, no, please.
Wait,
right.
What?
Yes, Frank.
Could we hear from Joe or David regarding the financing piece?
Yeah. Let me just get the resolution on the floor, and then we'll go through the same order that I have lined up already, and then we'll go to Joe about financing.
Okay, thank you. Okay. I'm looking at my own double E copy, yellow. A bond resolution authorizing the issuance of up to, and I'm going to change the number from 1.175 to 1.300,000 or 1.3 million serial bonds and notes of the County of Tompkins, New York, to pay a portion of the cost of a capital improvement project at 214 West Martin Luther King Jr. Street, West State Street, as adopted by the Capital Plan Review Committee on 12/13/11.
Is there a second for that? Dooley seconds that. And I think he can do it. It came out of budget that way.
It came out of budget that way.
Right.
At 1.3.
Okay, so you're not changing.
Well, I'm changing the one that I'm
looking
at. That's
on paper, yeah.
That has 1.175 on it. It's a yellow one. I don't know where that. That's
Jonathan, is that acceptable? It came out of his committee that way?
Yeah, that's what came out of committee, yes.
That's okay. The number that came out of committee.
Not out of our committee. Our committee was 1.3.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I've got Kathy, Nathan, Pam, Carol, Frank, Mike, and just anybody tell me when you want to hear from Joe.
Should we do that first?
Yes, Julie seconded it.
Should we let Joe go first?
All right, let's let Joe go first. And I've got Kathy, Nathan, Pam, Carol, Frank, and Mike. I'm running out of space on this page, but go ahead, Joe.
Okay. These are debt service estimates for various levels of funding. And you can be as smart as me and almost as smart as David Squires if you remember this. For every $1 million we borrow, average debt service is around $75,000. Okay? So based on that rule of thumb, at $1.3 million, our debt service would be approximately $97,500 a year. At the lesser amount of $1,175,000, it would be $86,250. Okay. Now, if you ask how much has already been incurred, because you've given us the authority to borrow $750, then the number you want to write down for that debt service is $56,250. So those are the numbers that you're working with. And if you were to bump it to the 1.4 that was just discussed, just to get that on the table, that would raise it to $105,000.
Okay, let me go back to Jim as the chair moving this.
As I put out the resolution at the figure that committee supported, I've heard many things here. Kathy's arguments were especially good in the sense that she was talking about money and how we spend money or don't spend money, and she pretty much took away many of the things I was going to say, except that I would have said, my sense is that at 1.3, we're covering all the options that we talked about here. The decision made back in the summer, and I may be the only person in the room who thinks this, that when we said we were buying it for the Office of the Aging, I think we had to put down something we were buying it for. Things changed, other things have popped up, and we had to say we put a department name in there. It could very well have been another department if things would have been the same in August as they are now in December. I don't think that we would have to hang ourselves out to dry because it's one building in the name of or one department in the name of another department. I think we all recognize that we have a problem downtown and space. We have one department we're renting space for. We have another department in the worst possible space that we own. And we have another department that's getting evicted from this building. And yes, we have to deal with that. And I think there were some ways that were talked about in the summertime to deal with that in the cheapest way possible, but we didn't choose one of those because of various, public influence and whatever infeelings people had in the legislature. That's neither here nor there. That was done. We're here today. I think we should move forward with this 1.3 and give the opportunity to design the building in the most flexible way possible. I heard Orrell say at the beginning, well, somewhere at the beginning, he talks about equity in design in buildings. When we've asked him and his department to look at our buildings, when we move people around, put our departments in buildings, he wants to be able to say to us and the departments, you know, I'm going to give you the best shot that I can, and equal to what someone else has. I don't have a problem with the extra $125,000, $75,000 for furnishings. It makes no sense to me that you spend $100,000 or $1.1 million on a building and then put, you know, second-rate furniture in that would be up at Cornell, you know, at their come by and pick it up building up there for free. I mean, I think our employees deserve the best that we can give them, and we're not rebuilding a BMW building. I would have said Cadillac, but no one knows what they are. I think it's more of a middle-class building that serves the needs of whoever goes in there. And, you know, I would hope that we can get 10 votes to get this project on the move, and because we are under the gun, I think.
Okay, Kathy, I've got the list. You heard the list. We've been at this 2 hours and 20 minutes already. So, Kathy, then Nathan, then Pam, et cetera.
Well, my original remarks weren't directly related to the resolution in so far as it's already been made, even after I was on the list. So I hope y'all will give me a little leeway here. I don't think anybody's going to change their mind at this point, so I'm not trying to persuade anybody. I just want to talk a little bit for myself and for the sake of anybody that might still be listening about what's going on around this for me. I'm one of the last people that would say I want to build a building on the cheap. And certainly as somebody that's an electrician, I like to see good jobs and I like to see people do good work. So I would be very happy to see this building be built in a way that was consistent with LEED's standards. And I spoke about that at the meeting, as Frank and somebody else alluded to, because I think that we made a commitment that we want to, you know, lower our carbon footprint, that we want to lower our dependence on energy costs, or, you know, our reliance on having to pay for energy, and we want to find ways to make this a better community by not spending so much of the infrastructure costs that keep going up. So if there's a way we can do LEED space, incorporate natural light, all that, that's good. Okay. I'm just trying to summarize a little bit, because what I want y'all to know is that at no time have I wanted to say, let's deprive COPA of their furniture. On the contrary, those that have good memories will remember that at the beginning of this, I said, wait a minute, is this one issue? Is this COPA? Or is this three issues? Why is it that we talk, okay, if we were going to move the legislature and space came available at Brown Road and somebody said, it doesn't really matter, we just need to put a marker on it. Let's say that the legislature is going to Brown Road. How many of y'all would think that was entirely appropriate and real usage, let's build it in? Of course not. At least I would think maybe, of course not, from perhaps 10 of you. I think that we did buy the COFA building for COFA. It wasn't a marker. It was a discussion. It was part of our long-range plan. COFA's been kicked from pillar to post several times. And then suddenly the shell game happened where all of a sudden we were doing dual usage for CJC and for a couple of other departments. And there was this big move going on. And the result is going to be, the result is going to be that we're building the building for CJC. If we build it for dual usage, we're building it for CJC. Just mark my words on this. I think we're doing a disservice to the taxpayer. We've already spent a ton of money on the dual usage thing. You can say 125 and argue that it's 140. We've probably spent 60 grand of staff time and hold time on this, not to mention the time of us around the table and staff having to deal with this. And I don't mean just tonight. But the fact is, the dual usage is a bait and switch, and it's a boondoggle. And I'm naming it because I've seen it from the beginning. I see it happening down the road. And I am your process queen. I want y'all to remember that I'm the one that notices when there's something going on that isn't what you say is going on. And that is, the building was built for COFA, but what we're doing now is we're switching it to CJC because we're building it for CJC now. But we're not saying so, and everybody's protesting too much. So I won't be supporting this. It's not that I have anything against COFA. It's not that I don't think that our finance folks and the architects and consultants and staff have all done a terrific job. We're not doing our job because we're not willing. We weren't willing a few months ago, a year ago, when this other decision was made to make the hard decision of saying, no, we're not trying to play juggling. We need to go ahead and make a decision on COFA. For myself tonight, I'd like to make the decision and to say this is just for COFA and change the resolution. If somebody wants to find a way to move that and put that in there, you'll get my 100% support that it's just for COFA from here on, and that we're not going to play this game of pretending that it's for COFA, but if it's for CJC, then okay, we're spending all this money for it. Let's just make it for COFA and admit it, or somebody can make the resolution and say, forget COFA, let's admit what we're doing, and let's just say it's for CJC, which it has been all along. That wasted money at least won't be followed by more wasted money.
Nathan and Pam, Carol, Frank, Mike.
Yes, thank you for letting me speak. I see this. The design seems like it's very clearly made for COFA in the initial, the design as it stands right now. It's very, the flow seems good. The office spaces are adequate, you know. And obviously, it's made in a way in which you can blow out walls and expand shell spaces to accommodate CJC or some other group in the future. So I think it's a very reasonable, customizable, flexible space. So I disagree with Kathy on that point. I was not particularly shocked by the numbers. I know these numbers are large numbers, but you know, I basically do not quite as detailed, but I do similar work to Arel at my hospital at Robert Packer. There's a facilities director, but I have to be the one that presents all these things to the board and stuff. And we do about $4.5 million worth of renovations every year. And just to give you a sense of scale, I'm redoing one area, and there's no mechanical that has to be done. It's about the size of this room, which is about, you said it's about 1,000 square feet, Arel, is the size of this room. So it's the size of this room. Granted, it's in a hospital. That's going to be $275,000. No mechanical, right? I'm doing we did a new patient unit, and this is hospital space, right? But in a patient unit with only 8 rooms. Eight rooms, 12 beds. And that unit cost us $1 million to do, right? We are redoing an HVA system over an area that has a lot of lab equipment in a room that's about 1.5 times, maybe 2 times the size of this room. That's $250,000 for that mechanical equipment. So when I look at these numbers, I actually think that this is actually a pretty, I mean, these are the estimates too, right? I think it's a pretty good deal. And so that's why I can support up to 1.3. And that simply means that we'll bond up to 1.3, but if the cost is less than that, then it's less than that, and we don't spend all that money. So I'm fine with this. I think this is reasonable, and I'll support a $1.3 million resolution.
Pam.
Yes, when last August, or when we passed the resolution, we passed that resolution because there was an effort to take COFA out to Brown Road. And there had been, originally when we bought the Carpet Bazaar building, it was supposed to be for COFA, and then all of a sudden COFA was supposed to go to Brown Road, and the CJC was going to go into the Carpet Bazaar building. So when we passed that resolution in August, it was the resolution that kept COFA from having to go out to Brown Road because some people had thought that was a good idea, and it was a good idea to put CJC into the Carpet Bazaar. So that idea of having that building as CJC has been there, and I think it continues to be there in some people's mind. I got to say, I mean, I don't even, the idea of having CJC in that building you know, I don't have any objection to that building, but the fact is that we are dealing with COFA. That's the first problem that we have. We have to get COFA out of here, and that we would just, on a turn of a dime, say, okay, COFA, you're no longer going to State Street, you're going out to Brown Road. I don't think that that's a good way to run our departments and our organization. I know we're in difficult times, but the only way that I can support this is if there's some guarantee in there that COFA will stay in that building for X number of years, because I feel similarly to Kathy in this respect. I feel as if that we are not. It's not a financial consideration we're looking at. We're looking at other factors, and I don't think it's fair to COFA. I just don't think it's fair.
Carol.
Yeah, I'm grappling with this one. You all know that I was no fan of government buying that building to begin with when it was the city commercial corridor. Having done so, I do want us, if we are going to have a county building there, to have it be a nice building that adds as much as possible to the physical space and sense of space in that part of town. So it isn't that I object to spending more money and having a nicer exterior to the building that fits in with that part of town. It's embarrassing that we are paying an architect and having him sit here and listen to us still debate the use. I mean, I think it's much better spend use of money if you decide on your use for sure and you're all in agreement before you hire the architect to work on the space. And I'm having trouble distinguishing sort of the cost and the design from the use, because if, you know, depending on which of those uses, we might have come up with a very different kind of design. So, you know, for example, if I were a client in the Community Justice Center program, a step away from going to jail, I don't think I'd want windows. You know, I wouldn't want people looking in and watching me rehabilitate, as opposed to the coping use where I... you know, where I would want a lot of windows and big and open and as airy as possible. So, there just might be those kinds of considerations. So I'm really grappling with this. It's not the money. I do think it would help me if we could really distinguish and be clearer about what the use is that we're expecting and for at least a minimal period of time. So I'm going to offer a suggested amendment that something like, be it further resolved, this resolution does not, be it further resolved that the Tompkins County Legislature reaffirms the decision in, I would go back to the original resolution, Resolution 226-210, in which we authorized the purchase of the Human Services Annex to relocate COFA, and of Resolution 76-2011 authorizing the use of bonds to support the renovation, and will not revisit that use for a minimum of 5 years.
Okay, so that's
I would feel better about passing it if we knew that we were at least going to use the space as designed.
Okay, that's an amendment, and where do you want
that? That would be
to
an
go?
Amendment, and I would put it, be it further resolved, would go after the first resolved. So it would go.
Well, the first resolved has all those sections, so it
right,
goes,
at,
it goes
the end.
At the very end then?
Yeah.
I guess. Is there a second for that? Frank seconds that. Jim, did you want to speak to that?
I'm going to question for Jonathan. Is that permissible in a bond resolution?
No.
Okay.
Okay, I have is there another way to achieve this?
One could always make whatever resolutions that the legislature wishes to make, but the bond resolution really needs to be confined to the bond and its mechanical use and its legal issues, and you can't put in other things like that because it confuses people who would buy the bond, et cetera. They would have no idea what that means, you know, that we wouldn't reconsider COFA, things like that. Bond purchasers out there, banks and stuff, would have no idea what that means. You can't put that kind of stuff in a bond resolution. You can make whatever resolutions you want outside of that, but the bond resolution is a pretty mechanical thing.
And could we achieve it in a whereas or not?
It's got to be in some separate resolution.
So I would have to bring forward a resolution and get 10 votes to bring it to the floor?
Well, for that, you would need 10 votes. Well, yeah, today, okay. If you did that today, you would, because it's not on the agenda. But you don't require 10 votes. You require 10 votes for a bond resolution. But you would not require 10 votes for how you want us to spend the money, other than today, because it's not on the agenda. And if you wanted to add it to the agenda, you need 10 votes for that. So it could be done another day without 10 votes.
All right, we've got to move on. Frank, then Mike, then I'm going to ask Joe to speak to some stuff he was saying to me earlier. Frank, Mike, Joe.
Thanks, Martha. Okay, history. We bought the building for $600,000+. There was a lot of gyration about the method that we were going to pay for it. There was some back and forth. We looked at other sites. The idea was that we were purchasing it for COFA. You may remember that the night that we voted, one member of this legislature dubbed that building the COFA Cabana. My recollection is that it was for that purpose that we bought the building. We then went and set a number to set the stage for renovation. That's where the $700,000+ came from. It wasn't a firm number, but in my opinion, a placeholder, but it was renovations for COFA. During several different courses of discussion, we were talking about center of government. A lot of things entered the fray, and we got into this confusion about adding, adding the center, the Alternatives to Incarceration Programs, CJI, into that building. I'm in the same place Kathy is. My recollection is we bought this building for COFA. I would like it to amend Jim's dollar amount because the Capital Programs Committee spent a considerable amount of time working that number down from the 1.3 or approximately 1.3 million to the 1.17 that Capital Programs came up with, and I'd like to move to amend the bond resolution to reflect that. So I'd like to move that we amend that dollar amount to what we did in Capital Programs, which was 1.175.
Yeah. Mike, is that a second?
That's a second.
Okay. And, Mike, you were next to speak.
That's what I was going to do.
Okay. All right. Nathan.
He's next to speak.
Actually, I was going to ask Joe, but...
I just have a question.
Go ahead. Mike was the last one on my list, okay. Except that I wanted Joe to speak to some issues.
And I'm passing because I was going to do exactly the
problem. Right.
And
right.
Amend to the lower figure.
So, Nathan, you want to ask a question, then we'll go to Joe.
Yeah. In all of my construction projects, we always do like a 10% contingency. Do you guys do that?
Yes.
Is that accounted for in the 1.175?
Yes.
Okay.
Only it's calculated a different way. They call it an escalation, and it's 1.5% per what?
No. The escalation just deals with the estimate from now. It's about the middle of construction. That's the thing. In the unit costs that went into the compilation of these numbers, there is an OMP number and a contingency.
Okay. So there's a 10% as well as an escalation?
Right.
And the escalation is 1.5?
Kathy, you didn't raise your hand.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Joe.
Just an observation, and I think it's already been made, but I think there's a common theme that's come out of this debate tonight, and that's you want to make sure that by your action tonight, you really don't cast in place a specific future outcome. You want to make sure that you're not kind of coming backdoor into a decision about the use of that building in the future. And I just want to remind everyone that in approving a bond authorization that includes this flexibility factor in it, you've kept all of your options open. All of your options remain open. You haven't made a decision about future use. If you take that flexibility factor out, you have made a decision about future use. You are essentially precluding one of the potential future uses of that building, which is CJC. You could come back conceivably later, spend a lot more money to do it, but really, if your goal is to keep your options open and not lock yourself into a specific course of action in the future, that's what this flexibility factor does for the legislature. And, you know, if a future use came about, that certainly would have to come back here before any change of use could happen in that building. It would certainly have to come through legislative review before that could occur. So I just wanted to make, I think that's the common theme coming out of here, and I just wanted to put a little emphasis on that.
Okay. I think, I'm pretty sure everything's been said at least a couple, three times. So maybe we can vote on the amendment and then vote on the resolution.
I want to speak against the amendment. I did not come to this meeting expecting to support $1.3 million, but Jim, in his straightforward way, pointed out to me this is a really good time to borrow money, to bond things. And to have that money borrowed at today's rates seems like a fiscally sensible thing to do. So I'm happy with the higher number.
Jim, you just said you wondered whether it needed 10 votes to for the amendment?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Peter.
I have a question. Is the point of this, is the amendment that we're going to vote on now, is it true that this would cancel our previous decision to make this space flexible for both services? Is that the point of it, Frank? And would it in fact do that? I mean, I would like a little bit of an explanation as to why you're proposing this resolution. I don't quite get the point.
Go ahead, okay. Quickly.
In the Capital Programs Committee meeting last week, we went over that list that was presented to us. It's somewhat the same as you see here, but there was a different sheet. And we selected from that list the various items that we wanted to add back in. Most of them were items that permitted us to keep with our previous resolution of LEED certification, making our buildings LEED certified. And that's what drove the number up to 1.014, I think, Peter. And then when we added things back in, pardon me, it crept up. And then there was a suggestion by staff that we add the floor to get the mechanicals off the floor and put them on a platform, and that was about $15,000. What it did not do is it didn't finish, visualize the building as a rectangle. The left two-thirds of the building would be primarily for COFA. The back one-third would be essentially unfinished space, more or less. Anything could go in there. The sustainability center that Ed's been trying to put together, the CJI programs, the Republican headquarters. I mean, almost anything could go in there if we finished it.
That'll get your vote, yeah.
We might even consider co-locating with the Democrats, if that'd help.
So the answer is, 1175 barely keeps the flexibility, but it takes out a number of things.
Okay, so if I understand right, I think I'm no longer a little confused. I was confused before, but now I'm not. And I'm no expert like Nathan in building a lot of space for big uses, but boy, every time my only experience is with residential units, and that's little houses, I know that the decision to leave something unfinished so that later you're going to put some extra, little bit of extra money in and finish it always turns out to be wrong. That the right way to do the work is to do it completely while you're doing it in the first place, and in the end you'll be better off. So based on that experience, I will vote against this.
Okay, I want to point out, and then I'd like to bring the amendment to a vote, that the difference between the 1175 and the 13 is $11,250. That's the bonding. That's the difference in the bonding per year. That's the bond payment per year. The annual cost, $11,250. If we accept that the amendment, that's the savings we will get, but we will be continuing to nickel and dime these good people in front of me. Okay, are we ready to vote on the amendment? All in favor of the number being 1175, please raise your hand. One, two, three. All opposed. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. 12 to 3. 3 to 12, that fails. All right, we have the main motion on the floor, 1.3 million. Can we vote? All right, we need a roll call. Long form.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. McAsey?
No.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
No.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Robison?
Yes.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Can I pass?
No.
I'll vote for you, Carol.
You'll vote for me. I don't know yet.
Then you need to ask permission of the body to abstain. Or you have to choose.
I'll vote yes for this, but it will not mean a future vote for moving anything very quickly out of the building that we put in.
All right, go ahead.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Ms. Herrera?
No.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
12 ayes, 3 noes.
All right, thank you all. Leslin?
I have a very direct question for Jonathan, but I don't need an answer now. I am never really clear what you mean when you say it can't be included in bond resolution. It can't. Like tonight you're saying, you know, it'll confuse people. Does that mean that it cannot, or does it mean that we shouldn't, it's not protocol to put it in?
Answer that.
If it's a two-second answer, because Martha's getting tired up here.
No, I really mean it cannot, because it's going to go to our bond attorney, and they're not going to want to release and put it out to market without that.
It cannot, absolutely cannot.
Right, I mean, it's not like thank the you. Law is not, but it's not going to go to market with that. They're going to send it back. Basically.
Thank you. That's clearer.
All right, I would ask for a break, but I think we've got to keep going, because we have so much to do.
Procedure.
Frank has hand up first.
Yeah, point of information or procedure. The fact that we've approved going to bonding for $1.3 million, I want clarification. That does not give permission to do everything that was on that list, does it?
I think it's pretty clear we will have bids go out. They'll develop the design. We'll have bids go out. It'll come back to the Capital Plan Review Committee, and... we'll see what the bids say, and we'll review it as we always do.
Excuse me, that doesn't answer the question. Will the bid package include the list that was up there, which is all inclusive?
Well, that is something that would need I need clarification. If we're saying at the 1.3, that's the first column that had basically all the items. There are a few items there that what we call the no impact that we're not going to do anyway. There are savings in the design, but I guess I need clarification if we're basically accepting all of those reductions less the no impact ones, because the direction I need to give Holt is to proceed with design development.
You mean the 4,000, the 2,000, and the 1,000? Those three items?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the 5,000 at the very top. Those are savings that we've already found in the design.
That seems correct. I mean, the committee, yeah.
Yeah. I guess we should be clear here to make sure that we stay on the right page. The way I'm reading this right now is the legislature has given us the authority to basically bid the project that would be funded under that $1.286 million column. And to the extent that there is a savings there, then there might be an opportunity to then look at those add alternates that are on the bottom left. That's the way I'm understanding the direction given to us by the legislature. So that would include furniture, for example, for COFA, which would go in, and the other items that weren't on the 1177 list, we would include them in the bid. That's how I'm reading this.
Madam Chair, could we make sure that the minutes of tonight's meeting reflect what the outline Joe just gave, just so that 6 months from now we're not speculating on... Based on this vote, that would be my understanding, too. Not that I'm particularly in favor of it, but that's my understanding of it.
Okay, Kathy?
Thanks, Joe.
We'll be done. Okay. Graham, Arel, thank you so very much.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it. I hope, Graham, you're still working for us tomorrow.
Graham, run.
All right.
Don't even like your stuff.
The next item is my report. I don't have one.
Mike still had a
phone. Mike?
Just a suggestion to the chair. Considering we have a very lengthy executive session, could we forego chair's reports?
I just said I have no report.
No, I'm not talking about your. I meant all the chair's reports.
Okay,
and just move through the resolutions.
Good point. Thank you, but I do have to ask the staff for their reports, and they're usually very efficient about this. County Administrator.
Well, I guess this is the wrong year to begin. My new tradition of reading was the night before Christmas in the legislature, so I'll wait until next year to do that. I'm gonna. We have a number of items in executive session. I will spare the legislature a report time.
Okay. County Attorney Jonathan Wood.
Yeah, I actually wanted to ask the legislature one quick thing. It was brought to my attention that in resolution number 207, the resolution that this body adopted establishing the unit charge for the solid waste annual fee, there was one mistake. The amount for TC3 is listed as $10,996, and that was simply a mistake. It should have been $23,603. And I would ask if the legislature could simply authorize the clerk to correct that error. And I think a resolution or something that, because otherwise you'd have to bring the whole thing back, which seems silly and time-wise.
Can we make a motion to that effect?
Yeah, could some.
I second it. I think if it were the other way, you'd have more problems. Any questions? All in favor of that motion? Raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay. Thanks very much, and no further report.
You can bring that kind anytime. Okay. Thank you, Jonathan. David Squires, no report. I already asked about resolutions to be added to or withdrawn. We did consent. Let me go to Health Human Services Committee. Frank Proto, Chair, and your consent were okay, but you have BB, Resolution BB.
That was not on the consent agenda.
I'm saying your consent items were pulled off. You didn't have any pulled
off. No, I
didn't
have anything pulled off.
You have just Resolution BB.
Resolution BB, authorizing changes in the charge structure, Tompkins County Home Health Care Health Department, and I so move.
Second by Will. Any discussion? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you, Frank. Carol Chuck, Facilities, CC.
CC. And you have a resolution, appropriation of contingent fund, terminal pay, highway division, and I so move.
Second.
Second by Frank. Any discussion? It's a short form roll call. Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes, but I think there's an error in the resolution. We got through it so fast. At line 10, it's on recommendation of F&I, not public safety.
You are right.
Kathy, did we get that?
Mm-hmm.
You're all set then?
I think so.
Okay. All right. Would anyone wish to be recorded as no? All right. That's unanimous. Planning. Who's next? Capital plan review, no report. Government operations. Mike, no resolution. There were. Your resolution's all passed on consent. Okay. Planning, development, environmental quality committee, Pam Magasu, chair. You had.
I thought the chairs were going to forego their reports tonight.
Right, but you have resolution I that came off consent. What? And you have appointments.
Resolution I, authorizing an agreement with the State of New York, the transfer of Gigantic Boulevard parcel, which buffers the Black Diamond Trail, and I so move.
Kathy seconds that. And Dooley, you pulled it off?
I did. I wanted to ask the nature of the agreement. I want to know from David Squires what the amount of taxes we paid were while we withheld this from foreclosure, and I want to find out what amount, if any, New York State Parks is paying us for this parcel.
I can answer some of that. They're paying us $1,000. That's its assessed value. The amount due was very small because the assessed value was $1,000. I forget exactly what it is, but it's less than a couple $100s.
Thank you. That's fine. Then I would like to have somewhere in the resolution the amount of $1,000 that we're receiving be recorded in the resolution. And I don't know where the best place is to put that, but if you could find that, Jonathan, with Kathy, that would be fine.
Okay. We'll stick it in for $1,000.
Okay. So you'll figure it out with Kathy Covert?
Right. I assume that's friendly.
A motion to add the price, the sale price, in the resolution?
Yeah, that would be fine. Or, yeah, I can add with as a friendly amendment.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't remember who seconded it.
I think Frank.
Kathy, you seconded that, okay?
Yes.
Frank.
Yeah, at the committee meeting, my recollection was that I had asked the question about whether or not it was worthwhile that we retain some access across this parcel because it abuts the Black Diamond Trail. And I'm sorry, but someone was going to look into that. Did we get an answer whether we need to retain access or not?
I don't know why we would want to retain access. Frank, I don't recall. Okay. I mean, I recall people talking about having access to the highway.
It doesn't really have any access now. It's a sort of bound property with no ingress or egress.
Right.
That's probably why they didn't pay the taxes.
I know the county's made an effort regarding the Black Diamond Trail for, you know, for improvement and use and whatnot. Would this be a potential area for hikers to cross to get from one place to another, onto and off the trail?
Ed, do you want to go to mine?
Well, this is going to State Parks that owns the entire length of the Black Diamond Trail.
So they would be managing access just like they would for the entire trail.
Anything else? Okay. Thanks, sir.
Okay. Are we ready to vote? All in favor of resolution aye, please raise your hand. Opposed? That's unanimous. Pam, you have appointments.
Yes. I have appointments. The Planning Advisory Board, Martha Armstrong, Meenakshi Amundsen, Fernando de Aragon, John Gutenberger, John Spence, and Andrew Zepp. And I so move.
Seconded by Peter.
Yeah, I have a question. That vote was not unanimous in committee, I saw. Could someone explain why?
Oh, the appointments.
The appointments, yeah.
Pam? Frank?
Yeah, since I'm the person that voted against it, I'd be happy to tell you why. Not to embarrass anyone, but I still remain concerned that this particular advisory board does not enjoy the scrutiny or the participation of the legislature in recommending any appointments, as every other advisory board that we have does. While in this particular case they're on recommendation of the commissioner, which is fine, we have other advisory boards that also come with recommendations of the commissioner. And I can tell you chapter and verse about those that go through mental health. There are a series of them that do. There are ones that come through the health department that come with the Board of Health's endorsement and whatnot. So it's not a criticism of the commissioner. It's simply that I think that this legislature ought to have a bite at the apple. And my experience has been that that does not happen. And in reading the charter paragraph says that this advisory board board is appointed by the Tompkins County Legislature upon the recommendation of the Commissioner of Planning, and that it's advisory to the legislature as well as the commissioner. It's not a rubber stamp of any sort. So that's why I voted against it, Peter. I've been assured, well, it's been recommended by the members of the Planning Committee that perhaps this is an issue that should be taken up by the Government Operations Committee next year. And
thank you.
You bet.
I think that's probably a good idea since it comes up every year. So whether it's just to review it and endorse the same or change it, maybe it needs to be looked at. Kathy?
So how would it be addressed? Would a legislator be appointed as liaison? Would the charter be changed? I mean, what are some ideas? I'm just trying to figure out what the potential solution might be. I know that that's worth years of discussion, but just roughly, a couple of ways at least, right?
The charter, there's been an interpretation of how the appointments are made, where they come from, and based on the language in the charter. Clearly, the language doesn't quite fit with people's expectations. However, it's done, it needs review. I don't think it's really something we need to go into now. I think the GO committee can look at that next year.
Were the two suggestions I came up with
off
the top
Kathy.
Of my head within the realm of possibility, or is there some other, like changing the charter or possibly appointing a legislator as liaison with either of those? I mean,
there are legislative liaisons to that committee, or at least one I know, to the Planning Advisory Board.
Okay.
And an alternate as it is stands right now.
Great. That answers my question. Thank you.
All right. Pam, you have... Wait, you already made the motion, seconded by Peter. We're ready to vote on the appointments, right? Okay. All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? They pass 14-1. Thank you, Pam. Budget, capital, personnel. You have a couple of...
Yeah, item N, authorizing the extension of audit contract with Chotsky D. Gregg and Little and Nicholson, LLP, with Polk.
All right, you've moved it.
No. I'll move it.
Second by Kathy?
Sure.
Okay. And Dooley.
I just wanted to add to the whereas what the current contract price level is, $68,000. So that's an amendment I offer, unless you think
I'm
it's friendly.
Okay, Kathy?
Mm-hmm.
Frank?
Yeah, in keeping with our ethics policy, it's important to disclose if you have a relationship with anyone. While I don't enjoy any financial remuneration from the county through this contract, I'm a partner with one of the members of this firm on some other items.
Okay. We ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Item B, authorization to sign draft county administrator. I would move that.
Seconded by Brian. Julie?
I asked to have this off because it felt funny to me to delegate authority to the Department of Finance and not just to the finance director. It seems to leave it so wide open. So I wondered, this is what it looks like. Was it intended to delegate authority to the finance director?
And this is an annual item. I don't know if it needs to be more specific.
This we're talking about authorization of
contract. Yeah. Line 7 says, and delegate this authority to the Department of Finance.
Which is a lot of, not a lot, but it's a handful of people. And it seems to me not all of them should have that authority. So it's a wording question.
Well, the way it's always been interpreted is who is authorized, who is on, who signs the checks to the county. And it's always been the county administrator. It's an internal control thing that's required under the local state.
Take the mic from it.
So,
Should it be the finance director or Department of
Finance? No, the county administrator is authorized to sign drafts.
To delegate finance. This authority to the Department of Finance is
finance
the question.
Finance controls the checking accounts, but it's basically what this means is that the checks that are controlled, the county finance department issues, are signed by the county administrator.
Right. So what does "and delegate this authority to the Department of Finance" mean?
The finance department is the treasurer, and we hold the checking accounts. And you're authorizing, designating somebody to sign the drafts of the finance department.
Are we ready to vote on this?
Do you delegate authority to someone else to sign your drafts?
I sign the checks.
So I don't understand why there's delegating it. Authority to the finance department. Can that be struck?
Well, under the chief fiscal officer of the county is the finance director. So I could be authorized to sign drafts, but the county has always had this control where they said we'll make the county administrator, who's the budget officer of the county, the one who signs the drafts.
Julie, do you have an amendment to this resolution?
I would like to change it to say to delegate this authority to the finance director or the chief fiscal officer or whatever you're called, and not to the whole department. And then if Joe somehow was unavailable and if something had to be signed, there's someone to step in. But I would like
would
to amend it to that way.
Would that be acceptable, David, if it said delegate this authority to the finance director?
Yes.
Okay. Is that friendly?
Jonathan?
Yes.
Jonathan, is that okay with you?
Yeah, but I mean if it's friendly to the mover and seconder.
It's okay with me.
It's okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fine. It's
Brian, fine. Brian. Okay, Brian's nodding. I'm just gone. Okay. To the finance director, all ready to vote?
Mm-hmm.
All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? All right, one more, I think, Jim.
No, I do not have one more. I've been asked to remove this
one. No, double A.
Martha?
What?
I've been asked to remove this one by the chair of the WDIC committee.
Oh. Okay, double
so
A.
So we will come back at a later date.
There are some changes that I don't feel comfortable making on my own. I'll bring it back to the committee.
Happy holidays.
Okay. Except we're not done. Maybe we are. Public safety, no motions. Workforce diversity inclusion, no motions. Can I get a motion on the meeting minutes from December 6th? Moved by Frank, seconded by Pat. All in favor, please, I hope there's no discussion. Raise your hand. Any opposed?
Martha, I have my hand up just for a comment on WDAC. It's an action.
Meeting minutes passed 14-1. Yes.
Just asking folks that if you look over the bylaws and you have things that you'd like to have changed, please let us know. Let me know so that we, at the next meeting, we can have it done.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you. May I get a motion to go into executive session for discussion of litigation and negotiations, and we won't take action afterwards if we're even alive. Moved by Jim, second by Pat. We will take a 2-minute recess while they shut down the calendars. Thank you.